Blog Talk Radio.
Thank the Most High that we're back again for another episode. Yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Enemya, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High. We're back with you here again to speak these very precious words. Yes, these very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He's told me, that for His cause, I have some very important things. Yes, some very important things that I must do for the cause of His people. And He told me because of what I must do. Yes, He told me because of what I must do. He said to me that I would accrue some very powerful friends. Yes, some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him that which He has asked to me, He said to me that I would have His protection. Yes, His protection and His guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I can only be utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He's told me, my brothers and sisters, that I must tell you things. Yes, He said to me, I must tell you things that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall. To hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and in so many ways to destroy. But I thank the Most High again, my brothers and sisters, because the Most High has promised with a certainty that he will bring all things to bear. Yes, indeed, even as he has spoken. And knowing that that is an absolute certainty, my brothers and sisters, we have, if we are diligent, perspective, sense of goal, an ideal that we must pursue. But I dare to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that there's so much of this truth of which I speak. That the scriptures tell us again and again that only by faith in Yah, because the rulers will not speak it. I said only by faith in Yah. So much of it will you even have a chance to ever find it. Listen to me, my brothers and sisters. The scriptures talk about it in the book of Romans. It says many had the law but did not seek it by faith. Meaning they sought it after the constraints of men. They sought the law, the prophets. But only after the misideals, my brothers and sisters, oftentimes seeming wise, those seek to establish their own righteousness. As such, my brothers and sisters, there's been a tremendous problem in this world. Yes, indeed, there's been a tremendous problem in this world. To the extent that man, reading the scriptures, after the constraints of various nations and denominations, oftentimes being more concerned about pulpits and thrones, and they're concerned about the reconciliation of a people, has left the world, my brothers and sisters, divided, confused. A multitude of different standards. For damn men even begin to believe that 45,000 denominations and 280 across 280 nations could even begin to be, an example of what is true integrity, true in all things to the will of the one? Absolutely not, my brothers and sisters. Few are they in society today realize what the Most High told me. He said, if you can believe that all the multitude of contradictions you see in this world are a work of his spirit, Spirit that teaches all things, brings all things to remembrance that there might be one. You can believe that multitude of these differences and contentions and contradictions we see in this world are work of his spirit. So you can't be a disciple unto him. Why, my brothers and sisters? He is one. His Holy Spirit teaches all things, no lie in it, unto one choice. If you believe, my brothers and sisters, that it's not necessary to seek the fullness of all that is divine will and conscience, what is it that's acting as an obstacle to you, my brothers and sisters, but man seeking to be justified according to his own ideals? Now, I can only tell you, every man seeking to call himself wise after his own private interpretation, after what seems wise in his own heart, cannot be a covenant, and is not, cannot be a covenant before the Most High at all. Because long before there was any man, brothers and sisters, the Most High had already decided and declared what is the eventuality of this earth, what is going to be acceptable for all his creation. The book of Hebrews, we find scripture saying such things as the works of Yah, the plan of Yah, is from the foundation of the world. Even my brothers and sisters, we could say before the foundation, because before anything was created, it was conceived first in the mind of Yah. Scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews also that whoever will not know his ways shall not enter into his rest, the peace that he intends. We must understand, our brothers and sisters, men have shown that they, in their constructs, the things that they build and create, have created all kinds of different ideals. But are they true to the Most High? I can only tell you if they were, the world would be one. Basically, what does this mean? Man does not raise himself unto a conscience sufficient before the Most High to be called genuinely repentance. Many are they who speak about the idea they ask the Most High, they petition the Most High, they say in repentance for their sins. Can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, I've repented for my sins. I have to ask the question, Are they sure they know what all of their sins? Are they sure that they know the difference between what is and is not the will of Yah fully? Have they known fully after the will of Yah what it is that pleases him versus what offends? Have they known, my brothers and sisters, the difference between what have they known? What is the difference between true and false doctrine? And they know the difference between a true and a false prophet. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things, no lie in it. Purity and completion, again, offers one choice. The Holy Spirit seeks to bring all things to remembrance. Scripture tells us that a faithful minister of Yah will seek to teach you all things. That means a true minister, a true prophet of the Most High, after that Spirit, will seek to teach you all things. He won't seek to hide any of the greater truths from you. But we live in a society that has grown increasingly depraved over the course of ages. I said, we live in a society that has grown increasingly depraved over the course of ages. What do I mean by that? Rather than seeking what in all things is true to the Most High, as man has fallen farther and farther away from the knowledge of the sure truth. I said, as man has fallen farther and farther away from the knowledge of the purest truth. Men have sought leaders, kings, rulers, who would flatter them, keep them soothsayed and comforted. Each man according to his own conscience. And my brothers and sisters, I tell you now, there are many amongst those who called you pastors, priests, your rabbis, your elders, who told me well, and thus I right admitted it. If there's a market for a word, they'll preach it. If you're willing to buy it, they're willing to sell it. Not, in fact, one told me straight out, say, don't you know that for them, it's not about what's in your Bibles. It's about them learning a profession. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Seminary schools could dish out a piece of paper that you can take to any denomination, and some of them to just about any religion. Do you really think for them it was about an absolute? The world, my brothers and sisters, so much of what I tell you on a regular basis here on this show would not be a mystery to so many. Most I call the prophet, my brothers and sisters, speak what others would not. So think about it. Many say that they repent unto the Most High. Are they sure they're repenting unto him? Think about it. In some every denominations, pastors compel people to repent. Do they compel them to perceive the truth beyond what is common to the institution that they have created? My brothers and sisters, a Baptist might repent fully unto all the doctrines of the Baptist Church. A Methodist, a Catholic, according to all the doctrines of their church. Many who call themselves Hebrew Israelites today might repent according to all that they know to be conscience. But you need to ask a question, my brothers and sisters. Is that sufficient before the Most High? I'll tell you right now, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures say when Messiah appears, that it's going to shock the world. One scripture says that in Isaiah 28, it says, be a terror for men, a vexation for men to understand the report, for his word is line upon line, precept upon precept, to the measuring line, to the plummet. And it will be discerned so much what men called sufficient. Well, the scriptures put it this way. The cloth is too short. The doctrines you call sufficient to cover your carnality are carnal. Will be found to be carnal. Blinded after the weakness of the flesh. Come on, Isaiah 28. Cloth too short. Warped, weak. Not enough for man to wrap himself up in it. Insufficient for a garment. Many of the doctrines that many have sought to cover themselves in order to cover or hide their sins. The tapestry, the interwoven nature of what they believe is still yet, my brothers and sisters, not sufficient to be said to cover man, the innate nature, the carnality of his thoughts. When scripture says faith comes by hearing, hearing by a word from the Most High, let me tell you something. No man raises his conscience unto a level that's acceptable before Yah. The gospel, my brothers and sisters, is not after all the multitude of differences we see among the nations, and it's certainly not among all the multitude of differences we see among the multitude of denominations. The gospel that will bring peace and accord to all who truly believe Yah is after the will of one. It's above all these nations, above all these denominations. Do people actually believe the gospel is a word twisted and contorted after so many differences that seem wise to men in this world? Do people think they call upon the name of the Most High after whatever misrepresentation and self-righteous, self-appointed standards and self-righteousness that men seek to establish? Scripture says it come to pass in the last days all who call upon the name of the Most High should be delivered. Do people really believe that's according to men just call upon what they think is a name? Hey, I could call out somebody's name and say, hey, his name is Alonzo Jackman. That means you know him because you know that name? My brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that the Most High seals all his word with his name. And that scripture really means until you're ready to sanction all his word, what you call upon in terms of a name could simply be your own imaginations. Scripture says, how can they call upon him whom they have not heard? Not all have heard the preaching of the gospel. If you call upon the name of Messiah, but it's not true of the gospel after constraints of the nations and denominations, my brothers and sisters, how can you say that you truly called upon his name by faith in who he is? He said, watch out for false prophets. Oh, false prophets. Holy Spirit teaches all things. False prophets will never tell you all you need to know. Will always leave you subject to some cage and some obstacle. Could leave you to believe some lie. It prevents you from knowing the Most High as he is. It prevents you from even knowing Messiah as he is. As I said to you before, my brothers and sisters, we can talk about scripture that relates that there are truths. The only most diligent and humble soul will even come to find, they might even begin to entertain and consider that they might understand. We're going to talk about those scriptures in a moment. I'll tell you where they are, ones you might find interesting. Daniel 12:10, Isaiah 26 chapter, around the 7th to 13th verses. Scriptures you also find, my brothers and sisters, in 2 Peter. Really that 1 through that 10th, 11th verses. It's in what Messiah meant when he said, be watchful that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. It's contained in those scriptures in Psalms 2, Psalms 14, Psalms 53. Scripture says, the Most High has looked on the sons of men, see if there is anyone who understood. It really means how much you need to seek Yah. The scriptures tell you that the kings of the earth have taken counsel against the Most High and against his anointed. It means that there's a layer of lies that you must overcome in order to overcome the world. Isaiah 25 speaks the same. 25, 1 through 3 through 10. Isaiah 50, my brothers and sisters. The corollary talks about one who overcomes, if you will, the world. Sees beyond the veil and the covering that's over all the nations. One who comes forth saying that the Most High is the one who taught him that he might see beyond all the partial, polluted, if you will, wearied, weak doctrine that men have trusted in. He sees beyond all the rulers. He sees beyond all the mindscapes and cages that the rulers have established to imprison so many minds. We talk about those things. It's in Isaiah 51 through 5. Scripture tells the Messiah appears, my brothers and sisters, because men were not prepared for him. It talks about a great city. From all the illusions of the whole world in it. Illusions, confusions, and misrepresentations, misadministrations, false doctrine of a whole world. Misrepresentations of it all in that one city. And Scripture says Messiah from that place rebuke and expose the misconceits of a whole world. How many of you know, my brothers and sisters, that prophecy before you heard it here? Or read it, actually, my brothers and sisters, quite frankly, in some testimony that came, quite frankly, from me. If you found it, to know it true at all. Zephaniah 2:15 through 3 and 6 speaks of it. Isaiah 24, chapter 10 through 16 verses. 25, 1 through 3 through 10 verses speaks of it. 27, 9 through 12 verses speaks of it. Article on my website called Secret City Prophecies. Here at hiddengospel.com. You'll see it there in the chat. Article, very much so, my brothers and sisters. Absolutely necessary in terms of its substance. It has to be discerned by anyone who's going to be sealed. Why? Like I said before, Most High seals his word with his name. Nobody's going to receive that name who cannot accept this testimony. It's all part of the law and the prophets. Messiah said, think not. Don't let anybody trick you into thinking that he came in any way to destroy the law of the prophet. But he came to bring all these things to bear and to teach it fully. He says, anyone who seeks to make a fool of his brother by not teaching these things, calling it still yet sufficient, is guilty even under hellfire. He said, your rights must exceed that of your rulers who hide these things from you, else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. Meaning there's a truth that you have to find, my brothers and sisters, and it's only found by a genuine faith, seeking Yah to reveal himself beyond all the confusion and misrepresentation of man. Scripture talks about how the Savior appears. Those who are most faithful and diligent and obedient. He will come to save those who will turn aside from all this transgression, all this misrepresentation, all this forgetfulness on the part of man. All this desire on the part of men not to remember the truth. Scripture says, in that day all shall have the same covenant with him. When he's turned men aside from all their, let's just say, all the ungodliness, all the misrepresentations, all the false allegiances that they have trusted. Because believe me, every manner of false doctrine that men have trusted, every form of misallegiance that men have trusted, has been a barrier against the reconciliation of a people. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, no people divided is going to be a light to the world. And Satan loves it. There's so many, my brothers and sisters. I've been more concerned, like I said, about pulpits and thrones and their personal pride. I said pulpits and thrones and their personal pride. Seeking their own, to exalt their own conscience, rather than asking the Most High to reveal the more of his. Many have been more concerned with, said it before, I say it again, throwing rocks while they both live in glass houses, than seeking to discern what indeed, what indeed, my brothers and sisters, will establish what is safety. Sanctuary before Yah. It's important that we understand these things. The Tower of Babel should have told us that nobody established for himself sanctuary against the righteousness of Yah. Well, I speak, folk, about such things as the secret city prophecy. Before I look like I have enough time. Before I go any further, I want to talk about something. Many of you have probably looked at the splash screen, the opening screens to this show, that visions of a lion. Visions of a lion begin to show forth his light out of the darkness. Preparing, in fact, my brothers and sisters, to expose all the darkness. The title, Shiloh, Shasha, and Shah, King of Kings. Some of you might want to know what it's about. Well, I can only tell you that Genesis 49:10 speaks of one called Shiloh, a lawgiver. Scripture says it was coming in the last days out of the tribe of Judah. In the Aramaic, actually, in Numbers 24 concerning him. Just as Isaiah 24 speaks about him coming from a city, Numbers 24 speaks about him coming from a city. In the Aramaic, it even goes as far as to say he comes from among the brethren of Israel. Wow. Isaiah 49 says the same. A lawgiver, him unto whom the kingdom of the earth belong. Term Shiloh means he unto whom it belongs. One who brings the peace. Hey, when all are redeemed unto him unto whom there should be the inheritance, there will be peace. Shasha and Shah means the king over all kings, whose rule, in fact, should expose all the rule of the kings to be foolish. Shasha and Shah even means king of kings. How many are aware that term Shasha and Shah, king of kings, is actually an ancient Persian term? That's where it came from. I would have you to consider something, and I'm just trying to move through this swiftly as I move on to the rest of the ideas that I wanted to really talk about tonight. It was the main topic. At times, my brothers and sisters, in your translations, have done certain things that might throw some people off, not to see the reality. Who is Messiah according to all the words of the prophets before? Many of you might be shocked to find that most have little idea, affirmative an idea with regard to this at all. Sounds shocking? I tell you, my brothers and sisters, the apostles, even the father of the one who was called John the Baptist, all knew who Messiah is according to all the prophets of old. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, they knew him as the return of one who had come before. That might sound shocking to you, but the truth is what it is. I can only tell you the book of Isaiah relates Messiah coming three times. If you don't know what I'm talking about, in the context of the scriptures talking about Messiah delivering his people out of Babylon to the east first, in the latter days from Babylon in the west, and in the interim between the two, coming to give his very life that men might discern beyond the unrighteousness of their rulers. And I mean both Jew and Gentile. If you don't know what that's about, you really need to check out the article on my website, Early Church Origin Mutual Expectation. The leaders wouldn't tell you this, because quite frankly, the prophecies of the apostles, and I spoke about this last night, Messiah said the same thing. The Messiah, as well as all the apostles, told people in advance that very shortly after the gospel starts to go forth, in fact, the time that Jerusalem will be overthrown by Gentile nations, by Rome in 70 AD, he said it would bring forth a serious intrusion of corruptions on the part of Gentile nations, ultimately to completely annihilate from the minds of men the knowledge of the truth, murdering and continually murdering until all who knew the truth were killed and all who would perhaps even begin to speak would be silenced. It's actually in your Bible, in Matthew 24, 14 through 24, is one good place to start. But like I said last evening's show, you might want to go back and look at it in the archives. The reason why your leaders haven't told you this, because you need to ask the question, what was it so powerful in its redemptive capacity that it would prevent so many of the lies of Rome penetrating the minds? What was it that the early church knew that they sought to utterly annihilate this idea from the minds of men? So much so that they later on came up with this false church that they say has Roman foundations. Automatically a lie. All the early church was Jews. And it was Hebrew people that went forth to teach the nations that they'd be converted. How are you going to convert somebody after their own ideas? It didn't make any sense. Well, I said a few things already that sounds strange to a lot of people. Perhaps there's even some sit back and say it's a pile of malarkey and move on, try to move to a whatever else they wanted to do. But my brothers and sisters, a prophet has to speak the truth. I'm telling you that all that I'm speaking to you now can be found in the scriptures, I promise you. I want you to think about this. Revelation 16 talks about the drying up of the rivers. What's called the drying up of the rivers is the way of the king of the east might be prepared. They put in your King James Version, kings with an S, to throw you off. Many never even considered to ask the question. If they'd have put it down capital king of the east, with a capital E, you might ask who that is. But they chose to put in your King James Version, kings of the east, just like at Jeremiah, the 51st chapter, they decided to put in their kings with an S of the Medes. If they put in their king of the Medes, you might have asked the question who that is. Well, like I said, Isaiah, I said so many times, Isaiah has the keys to a lot of prophecy. They're talking about the drying up of the rivers, the way of the king of the east might be prepared. It talks after that about the gathering of all the kings, and really at least more than just the kings, but all the precepts of the nations to a place where they'd all be exposed. All be proven foolish. Scripture says when it happens, it'll be like a great earthquake, shock the whole world, find out the whole foundation, the whole daggone world. And all this belief is a lie. It says after that, because of that, the cities of the nations fall. It means all the social constructs and ideals of all the nations will fall, all of them being found faulty, because none of them were projected to be able to stand before the Son of Man. What do I mean by that? None of them will be found stable before him, because they're not based upon a true understanding of his word. That scripture, too, you will find in Matthew 7, Matthias 7, 13 through 28. Says he who has his words and really means who understands them, to obey them. That's a wise man. Whoever has his words and does not understand is like one who builds his house upon sand and not a rock, not a sure foundation. When the rains came, the winds blow, all the truth of the word come. They say that that house falls because it's built upon sand. Well, I can only tell you this, my brothers and sisters. It's important that we understand the comparison between Revelation 16, 12 to 21 and Isaiah 25, 1 through 3 through 10. In particular, Isaiah 44, 20 through 45, 6 in particular. You can go take it all the way out to 46 and 13. It talks about the Most High drying up the rivers for the king of the east. What does that mean? The barriers of the nations, and my brothers and sisters, were oftentimes considered the barriers that were the rivers themselves. It says he dried up the rivers. It means he shows the people beyond the mindscapes of the rulers. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures actually do talk about a time when the literal rivers will dry up. And men will pray for what is necessary to survive. Well, when the scriptures talk about in Isaiah 44 that this one, the rivers be dried up before this one, so that the rulers of the nation be found foolish. In other words, not so favored of Yah. It says this one will be a shepherd to his people. He will establish Jerusalem upon a firm foundation. Scripture says to make the crooked places straight, which means wherever it is, the men have been taught misdirection, he will show them the right way. Notice the scriptures talk about he proves foolish the wisdom of the wise. In Isaiah 44, compared to the fall of the nations, that the rulers are found foolish, the drying up of the rivers. I only tell you the one that they put in your King James Version called him Cyrus, not really his name. Helps to understand when you realize his empire was called Kurdistan. Oftentimes you see lands in the east with a S-T-A-N on the end, or a T-A-N on the end. It relates like a township or a land. Well, kind of tells you a lot about the man's name. Look at the comparisons and understand that one, my brothers and sisters. You can look it up. Check out my website. You'll find out where you can find. Check it out for yourself. This one bore the title King of the East. This one bore the title Sunrise. Bore the title The Branch. You can look at Zechariah 3 and 8. 6 and 12. The very word for branch, the word for sunrise, like the morning star, which is the sun. Sun and its rising to cast out all the darkness, reveal the light the world would obscure, to prove that so much what men call light be only another variant of darkness when certain truths have been hidden. If you understand that that one comes to declare an absolute word and to only sanction those who will also sanction, subscribe to, and believe to obey all of it. If you know, according to the book of Jacob, that also speaks of him, when you read those scriptures, it says, the grass withers, the flower fades, and all flesh is as the grass. And it burns when the wind of the Most High, the Spirit, the truth of the Most High blows upon it. It means he's going to overthrow all carnal thought. It talks about men having to transcend all the provocations and all the various ideals of the nations. If you know what that's talking about, my brothers and sisters, saying that your faith in Yah has to bring forth the perfect work, or else you shall not be, get my point, sealed and found steadfast before the Son of Man. You've been looking for all those prophecies related to this one's appearing, that you might not fall short. I'm going to say this, and I'm looking at my time, realizing I need to go on through the next phase. I'll just simply tell you this. Scriptures talk about, if it was translated properly, it says, when he comes, every eye shall see him, and all the nations of the earth shall mourn. Every eye shall see him, even those who they put in your King James, pierced. It means reject. The word there means rejected. Who is it that has been rejected, my brothers and sisters, but the one that the early church knew as the anointed one called Shiloh, the Kurdi, who Yeshua himself that he said that he is. At Revelation 16:12, he says, behold, I come as a thief. It means he comes suddenly and unexpectedly. Go back and look at all the prophecies concerning the one called the King of the East, the righteous one from the rising sun, the Son of Righteousness that arises, the Lord whom you should be seeking, King for whom you should be awaiting. And see how many times Scripture keeps talking about him coming suddenly, exposing all the unrighteousness of your rulers, your kings, your priests. You put it all together, you realize who Messiah said that he is. But Rome didn't want you to know that. The King of the East is not the King of the West, my brothers and sisters, in terms of who Caesar saw himself as being. If you knew that the king that we're talking about is a monotheist, after the ideas of the East and not the polytheist ways of the West. Think about what impact that had on the idea about Rome setting up a Caesar. Rome setting up a king. Rome setting up a pope. Rome, my brothers and sisters, could not take over in the East until they could squash that idea and that expectation. So it's so very important that you understand these things. And look at all the prophecies concerning what Messiah must do in his true actual coming. That you know how to prepare. Because rare few, it seems, today are they who realize what the Scripture means. So if you confess the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you must seek to understand again and bring to remembrance, to mind again, that you be counted a sinner, it says in Isaiah 46. All things the Most High has spoken, all the Messiah would reveal. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I ask the Father for the Spirit of truth. What? To reveal to you all things? Again, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you now what the Most High told me directly in my ears. He told me it's the most diligent, humble, and obedient soul that will have the greatest opportunity for repentance. Shall a man be found, man's efforts of repentance be found worthy according to his own conscience? Or will he be found acceptable because he seek all the Most High himself will reveal of himself. Big difference, my brothers and sisters, I promise you. Huge difference. Like I said, many seek repentance according to what seems wise in their own hearts, but did that prove they were to be obedient to what the Most High himself decrees? Think again. The ones the Most High is going to accept, my brothers and sisters, those who have shown a love for Yah. My brothers and sisters, even those, my brothers and sisters, who, when he reveals himself, their hearts pricked, tweaked, know that they must obey. It's not after everybody's different ideals, because we are people, my brothers and sisters, have to learn to love and respect Yah that we not offend him. And he told us, well, there are many other ways that seem right unto men, but the end thereof is death. Messiah himself, it says, many other ways that seem right unto men, he says, but are disgusting before Yah. Highly esteemed among men, but disgusting before Yah. Or dare men say that everything men think is supposed to be acceptable to him, to Yah. Let me tell you something. Men have resisted discerning globally what is sin. For many ages, shall those who have done such, suddenly upon finding the truth, be just suddenly accepted as steadfast? I want to tell you something. Scripture says Messiah is a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, and a sure foundation. Most of us are not going to trust anything that somebody's not found trustworthy. You need to know that. Let me tell you something. Resisting, discerning what has globally been sin, is beneficent, nor is it love of anyone. And choosing not to see globally what the world has ignored is only toward escalating sin, escalating confusion. Like I said, there's truths in these scriptures. Man has lost sight of for a very long time. Choosing not to see those things that man might be reproved shows that a man's allegiance is still yet not to the truth. Not even a great love of the truth at all. But a preference for his own unrighteousness. And that, my brothers and sisters, will not be tolerated in the judgment. Our people will not be tolerated in the judgment. Scripture talks about in Isaiah 59-60. The Most High reveals the light. We will not ever not seek to come to that light. To serve true to that light, so that nation shall utterly perish. Why do people sit around and sit back and sit there as individuals? As individuals, they can resist coming into the light and still be called the children of light. Brothers and sisters, light does not deny light. The truth just simply must be understood, must be accepted. Just the way it is. So men refuse to discern how they have sinned and forgotten the truth, refusing for self-righteous and pride's sake, refusing to know or care how we have collectively fallen short and offended divine conscience, and still expect that in resisting to know what's necessary to make amends, so men still say that in this, because they repent, they will have an atonement of one man with the other, still resisting against Noah's will, knowing his will? Shall we preserve a conscience that we haven't even inquired of to fully know? Besides that, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that means guard, maintain, and defend. But I'll tell you, the whole world is falling short of divine conscience. Scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Conscience, what is honorable for you? Dare we not inquire that we know how we have fallen short, that we might correct the error and be restored to genuine truth? If we don't realize the need to do so, saying that, well, hey, most people don't know, so it doesn't make any difference. Did we forget, my brothers and sisters, the scripture says, if a whole world be found a liar, deceived, or lacking knowledge, Yah will still yet be true to his own plan. Read around Romans 2:29-3-4 and realize that a true Jew is one who seeks the praise and honor of Yah according to all that is his will, even if the whole world might speak otherwise. I want you to think about what I just said. Scripture says, every eye shall see him, and all the nations of earth shall mourn. Who is it, my brothers and sisters, that the world has rejected the knowledge of? Who did Rome teach people to reject? But Yeshua has occurred in, that they might establish this idea of one after the rudiments of Rome that sought to murder the saints, therefore seeking them, they sought to murder and destroy the true word that was, that they as vessels kept in their hearts, the testimony they maintained. Scripture says, a false Messiah will come up, having horns like a lamb, speaking as a dragon. People think it's the way of salvation, but denying the Savior, denying him who comes to bring all things to remembrance, and then might become wise, preserving so much folly of this world. And the scripture says, functioning after all the power, the principles, of that system that seeks to sought to destroy the saints or the word of truth in the first place. Well, brothers and sisters, many have believed in a false concept of Messiah that some even apparently have believed doesn't even hold men accountable for seeking to remember the truth. The Holy Spirit says the Holy Spirit brings all things to remembrance. We should all seek that for the good of one another. That's the first command of all. First command of all, we love Yah, seek him with all our mind, heart, soul, and might, that we might be a blessing to our brother. That's the first command of all. But they'd rather you not do that among your leaders. Because if you did, you might find out about how treacherous your leaders have been. Hello, my brothers and sisters. It's time we wake up beyond all this fatal flattery. The Messiah, when he reveals the truth of his testimony, his righteous reveal, according to what it says in Isaiah 56. He has to prove that all the men have trusted after rulers who would not seek fully the truth. He has to prove it all vanity. How else should his people be free? Think about it. Your rulers are not going to tell you this, because to know this is to understand where they've fallen short. To know this is understand why it is revealed that when Messiah appears, the scripture says, unto him shall all the nations seek. Hey, it says, all the isles shall wait for his law. How about the revelation of his conscience? Revelation of divine conscience the Most High has appointed him to reveal. Didn't say anybody would be sealed, confirmed, true to the covenant of the Most High. If they received the name, they might be protected in the day when the Most High would destroy every lie. For those who can accept the fullness of his testimony. That's what's written. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Without then that testimony rightly discerned, what men have called repentance is not yet worthy unto an atonement. The Most High is going to reward those who have been most diligent for the truth and shown that they would be obedient to it. And that when they discover again fully the truth, and they're making a covenant with Yah to obey, because they obeyed what the Most High told them before. They should be prepared according to what's written. Be watchful, diligent, seeking always, prayerfully, that you be able to stand before the Son of Man, who will discern the thoughts and intents of every heart. Yes, my brothers and sisters, by his very word. So many things he would say. But many will be prideful. The scripture talks about many being prideful. Figure it can't be true because their faith was in men. And not enough to compel them unto diligence to find out for the sake of their brother what indeed is the truth. I invite you to examine the things you find on my website. If you find anything wrong, let me know. If you say you love me. I've sought these things, for the Most told me I had to for you. But you show me the same favor. I'd like to see what you find. If you have contentions. But I might still yet be able to help. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, under false pastors, men have repented and called themselves offering repentance. But how many have thought about what Yohanan, when they call John the Baptist, says, they bring forth works meet or worthy to be called repentance. Wow. Show forth a conscience, a diligence, worthy to be called repentance. Should men say that their repentance is worthy before Yah when they haven't even been fully willing to seek the whole truth? My brothers and sisters, under false prophets, men have been taught false religion, to which men have been herded to trust in blindness, according to just simply what seems wise to themselves, and dared to call it the praise of Yah in an effort to return to him. I look at Malachi. Scripture talks about everyone saying that they're good in the sight of the Most High according to all their own designs, and saying the Most High delights in such as if Messiah would never come to reprove all this, the lies have been taught by your leaders. He says he changes not. He comes to restore righteousness as of old in former years. He'll purge out from the midst of his people those who lie. That's really what it means. And after it's all said and done, he says, return to me and I'll return to you. But people say, where shall we return? Because they weren't willing to accept fully the Most High. They said he would establish a reference point after which he could be revered. The men say, return to me, repent, return to me. The men have no concept of what to return unto in terms of fullness of conscience. He can still be very much so led astray. Scripture talks about one who will come, who must come for the express purpose, or which, let's just say, shall be revealed. For the express purpose is showing man again the way. Scripture says he would lead the people by a way that they knew not, Isaiah 42:8. Sake of the way of peace, reconciliation unto Yah. Returning unto Yah, they knew not. The way of the one, they knew not. Who, when one comes to show man the way he had not known, will be humble enough not to be so full of pride that he'll realize he needs to turn in the right direction. I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, not everyone. Not everyone. So you need to pray that you search for the truth. The divine will be found worthy. Daniel, the 12th chapter, 10th verse, says, for instance, many will be in that day purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will continue to act wickedly. And none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight. Some scripture says those who have insight have done good works in other words, have sought for the fullness of what is divine plan. Good means fullness. Works relates to our plan, what the Most High devised, conceived. We'll understand. It's a reward, my brothers and sisters, those who have been diligent for the truth with a pure heart. I didn't say seeking to justify an institution of man or even self, but seeking in all things to be true to Yah for the good of all. For if a man seeks otherwise, my brothers and sisters, he is not part of a covenant with Yah. He cannot defend the holy kingdom. He can only seek to ensnare others after the frailty of his own thoughts. The Most High would never be pleased with such a thing. In fact, it's treachery against him. It's time we understand the real, my brothers and sisters, truly. Like I said, the pursuit of the true gospel of the kingdom is the pursuit of the truth beyond all the veils of all the diverse debates of the nations and churches. Yah is eternally one. I'd like to read some scripture to you. I have just enough time. Isaiah 26 and 7. He talks about the Messiah's appearing. He said, the way of the righteous is smooth. In other words, he will show the smooth and straight path beyond every obstacle. Some texts say, O righteous one. O right one. Upright one. Some texts, there's linked the upright one. There's mentioned in Isaiah 24:10-16, who emerges from that city to expose all the unrighteousness of the treacherous rulers who have not taught the people all they need to know. It's a plea unto Messiah's self, himself. Say, this is ultimately the righteous one for whom we awaited. He will cast aside the veils of all the nations, wipe away tears from off all eyes. How about show men beyond all the lies that they might finally see the truth? People are saying, make the path of the righteous level. Those who seek after the right, make it level. In other words, no more obstacles, no stumbling blocks. For these, the Most High speaks of with favor, will say, indeed, while following the way of thy judgments. Seeking out the way of his judgments. Oh, yeah, we waited eagerly for your name. How about the fullness of your will? Even the remembrance. Yes, the remembrance of all his will. That has been the desire of our souls. He says, at night, my soul is long for you. They will say, at night, my soul is long for you. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks you diligently. Oh, these are the ones who shall see. For it says, when the earth experiences your judgments, the inhabitants of the world shall learn righteousness. This is the expectation. But he talks about the wicked, the lawless, those who have not been diligent. That's a word for wicked means. It means lawless. It means those who have not sought the fullness of the truth. Lacking knowledge, when they are shown favor, even opportunity to see. Some of them have not enough to learn righteousness. Still filled with debates and doubts after the misconceits of this world. Indiscriminate. Have not exercised their senses. There's no between good and evil. He says, such as this will still be unstable and deal unjustly even in a land when uprightness is revealed. Still does not perceive the majesty of the Lord, the absolution, the sovereignty that is the will of the One Most High. He says, O Lord, when their hand is raised, yet they do not see. But they shall see when they realize the zeal you have for the cause of the people.
90 seconds.
He says, if you put to shame, indeed the fire of your zeal should devour your enemies, whoever will stand against the righteous knowledge of the truth. Best to get them aside, move aside every obstacle, my brothers, and they ask the Most High to do so. So when the truth comes, you won't be found an obstacle against his people discern the right way. Says, Most High, you will establish, even the one called by the name of the Most High will establish peace for us. All the people discern one.
60 seconds.
Since you have performed for us all our works, in other words, thoughts and intents, intents of our hearts, our conscience, one conscience. O Lord, you are Elohim, and will declare all the precepts after which we believe and thrive. He says, been true that other masters, other lords besides you have ruled over us. He said, but now, through you alone, we make mention of your name. That is the gift of discretion offered to those who have been diligent. Second Kepha, like I talked about before, it says you must be very diligent to make your election, your call to understanding sure. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, upon coming to the knowledge of the truth, will see before your Most High for ratification to be proven. These are those who show genuine love for all.
10 seconds.
I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. Unto his might, honor, and praise always. Hallelujah! And I thank you all again.